Thought for today. Great people talk about ideas. Great people talk about ideas. Great people talk about ideas. All of us like to talk about ideas. We like to talk about things and so forth. And what is it that we're really talking about? What is it that we're really sharing from our heart? We tell stories, and then the stories are about what goes on in life. Stories about what happened in our past. Stories about what will happen in the future. Story about what's going on right now. But these are not really stories. These are not really separate incidences that we put together to express ourselves. They're ideas. Each one, if you can dig down into its foundation, you'll find it's an idea. It's just a pure idea and is a thought that stands all by itself, unique, alone, rather wonderful, kind of intimidating, very, very demanding of our attention. You think of the thought of, say, for instance, breakfast on the table. And when you think of the thought of breakfast on the table, what do you think? Do you think of the food that is there? That would be a natural thing to think about, of course. Do you think about the time of day that breakfast is served? Do you think about the people you sit with at the table and the conversation that you have and the talking that you do? Do you think about the birds singing outside as they work in the feeder, the hummingbirds? Do you think about the dogs as they sit next to our chair, looking up, so pathetic as though they haven't had a thing to eat for a million years, wanting a little morsel from the table, which they instantly devour and they have no idea what it tastes like? What is it that we are thinking when we think all these different thoughts? Every one of them is an idea. Every one of them is an is. It stands all by itself, pristine, pure, beautiful, unadulterated by anything else. But then you and I come along and we add another dimension to the idea. We add the dimension of time and space. And these are just as spurious, just as illusionary as the thought that they are about. Because we think of the time that we're eating, and we're going to eat at 7 o'clock. What time do we have breakfast? We have breakfast at 7, okay? We're eating at 7 o'clock. And then you think of Gertrude in Switzerland. And you think, now, how many hours is that different? That's 8, 9 hours different. Now, she had her breakfast 8 or 9 hours ago. But we're thinking of Gertrude having her breakfast at the same moment we're having ours. Just when the sun is peeking out over the horizon and saying, good morning, world. It's doing the same thing in Edmontingen, in Switzerland, when Gertrude is sitting at her table. It does the same thing when the emperor's new baby, the prince's new baby in Japan, is crying for its milk, crying for attention. And of course, around this new little princeling are a dozen people, so it doesn't have to cry very long. It gets a lot of immediate attention. But it's having its breakfast too. Maybe not at 7 in the morning, but many times, and perhaps at 7 too. Now you see, the idea of eating at 7, for instance, is an idea in itself. But that idea has ramifications that change it and add to it and give color to it, give drama to it, give imagination to it. And, as always, give illusion to it. Because it's not true. It is not true that the princeling is eating at this moment at 7. It is not true that Gertrude is eating at this moment at 7. It's not true that we're eating at this moment at 7. And why do I say that? Because the time is more like, 4:45 or something like that in the morning. It's not even 7. And here we are talking about breakfast and imagining breakfast and imagining our sitting at the table and imagining our sitting with each other and talking and sharing. We are imagining our eating. We're imagining our having a cup of water or a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. We're imagining ourselves having whatever we're doing. We imagine it. It's not real, but yet it's very real. Could you smell, if you were having bacon, could you smell the bacon in the frying pan? Could you smell the toast as you're putting the butter on it? Could you smell the eggs as they were perfectly fried? Could you smell the grits like we had when we were in New York? At 7 o'clock we had breakfast in New York and you would think that we hadn't eaten for a lifetime. They brought everything including the kitchen sink. They brought us grits and they brought us chopped meat and they brought us bacon and they brought us pancakes and they brought us, I don't know what all they brought us, there's so many things, and bread and muffins, and oh, wow. Yes, it just makes you full to think about it. it's a wonderful, fulfilling meal. But you see, it's an idea. It's purely an idea. Now, you can have that idea anytime you want. Let's just wander away from that idea, but not too far. And let's go and take a look at some of these people who are practicing not eating. Now, why would anyone in the universe want to practice not eating? I mean, they don't have to practice not eating. There's plenty of food. They don't have to practice not eating. Everybody agrees that eating is a perfectly acceptable thing to do. They don't have to practice non-eating. They're not doing it for a spiritual enlightenment. They're not doing it because they want to prove to themselves they don't have to eat. They might, in a way, be doing that. But more than likely, they have taught themselves to be without food and to be comfortable without food. And they practiced it for a while. And they found it very satisfactory. And so then they continued doing it. And as with all things, the world gets wind of these ideas being practiced. And the scientists go and investigate the persons who are going without eating. Because you see, according to our knowledge, you have to eat to live. Even Jonathan Livingston Seagull's parents told him, John, you're just skin and bones. A seagull's purpose is to learn how to chum for boats, how to chum for boats, how to chum for fish, and how to get food so that you can live, so that you can exist. Well, that's an idea too. That's just an idea. And what did Jonathan find? He found that he could dive just below the surface and get more fish and better fish than were thrown off the boat. That's an idea too, isn't it? We as human beings know about that, not everybody of course, but we know about it because we're aware of where fish swim. Fish swim at many levels under the water, depending upon the kind of fish they are. And that's an idea too. And then there are some people on the face of the earth who don't drink. Oh my God, how can that be? Scientists tell us that if we don't have water in our body over a certain length of time, that we will dehydrate and die. Well, that's an idea too. You see, these are all ideas. And they're wonderful ideas. We have grown accustomed to these ideas, and we live our life according to these ideas. Now, great people think ideas. So everyone must be great because everybody's thinking ideas, aren't they? That's what they're doing. But great people talk about ideas. Now, what do you talk about? What great ideas do you talk about? Do you talk about the idea of being a spiritual, aware person? Do you talk about the idea of being an illumined person? Do you talk about the idea of being a divine person? Do you talk about the idea of being God? And can you rationalize being God? Can you see everything is God, so therefore I must be God? It's one thing to say these things and talk about the ideas, but it's another one to practice it. Many people may have talked about going without water or going without food, but how many practice it? Very few. You can virtually count them on your fingertips. Great ideas are what are discussed by great people. Great minds talk about great ideas, don't they? All of these ideas that we've been expressing are truly great ideas because they're significant for our everyday way of life. They're very significant. The food, the drink, the breathing air, any of these things. Being divine, being illumined, being a master, being God, these are all very potent ideas. How does a person practice not eating? The answer is obviously very simple. Don't eat. Well, I mean, if I just stopped eating, I would then not be eating? That's right. But how long would you stop eating? How long would you carry on your, and you would call it a fast? You see, the people who don't eat do not call it a fast, because a fast has an end to it. The people who are not eating, period. There is no sometime when they're going to eat and sometime when they're not going to eat. They just do not eat. The same with those who do not drink. If we want to be on the spiritual path, and we're great people and we talk about great ideas, but if we want to be on the spiritual path, say for instance, we'd like to experience illumination. Wouldn't that be nice? Illumination is a very harmonious, wonderful, joyful experience. It's an experience that anyone who has illumination, they feel illumined. They feel just glorious. They feel uplifted. They feel inspired. They feel great. Now, if a person wants to not eat, then they do not eat. If a person wants to experience illumination, then they turn their attention to illumination. Where is illumination? Is illumination in you for me, or me for you? Hardly. Illumination is at the center of our own being. The center of our own being, where's the center? I mean, you gotta squish it all together and then go to the center of it? No. Illumination is in our thinking center. If we were to look at ourselves from a spiritual point of view, if we were to look at ourselves as our creator, we would think of ourselves as contained within a circle or a box or walls, and we'd think of ourselves as having so much weight, so much water, so much blood, so much bones, And then we think of having spirit. And the spirit is the fun part. The spirit that we think we have, we think is inside of us. But the spirit is not only inside of us. The spirit is around us and through us and as us. You see, when you stop to think about it, spirit knows no bounds. You cannot put spirit in a box or a ball. You cannot contain spirit. Even though when my mother passed on, her ectoplasm floated out of her body, which was an interesting thing to see, but that was not her spirit, was it? That was just a sort of a personal essence. The spirit is broader and more magnificent than anything at all. The spirit encompasses the universe. The spirit encompasses all. Well, if it's the spirit is all, then how could I think or say that it's my spirit? How could I think or say that is my unique individual spirit? Well, it isn't. It is the spirit that is all. It is the spirit that is universal. That's why we say we are universal. That's why we say we're the allness of the universe. That's why we say when Jesus was on the cross, we were there. We were there as Jesus or as whatever we choose to be. When Marco Polo took elephants over the Alps to go into Switzerland, we were there. When the first thought was thought, poof, if such were the thought, then the Big Bang occurred, and all matter, as we understand it, began to coalesce into forms in this universe, we were there. We were each little speck of undifferentiated matter spreading itself through the universe. That was us. We were all the specks, and we were each speck. We are all the knowledge of the universe, and we are each awareness of knowledge, each piece of knowledge, if you will. That's who we really are. That's what we really see. Great people talk about ideas. They think about ideas. They live in ideas. And they're uninhibited by the illusions that are around them. Sylvia is very interested in absolute, thinking absolute ideas, thinking the universal concepts of ideas. And, I mean, this is great, but this is wow. When you're starting to think in that area, you have to immediately, not really immediately, but you cannot have any thought which says to you that you're limited. You cannot have any thought which says to you that you're imperfect, which says to you that you're struggling, that says to you that you're anything other than the allness of the universe. And in the allness of the universe, you have happiness and sadness. You have wealth and poverty. You have sickness and health. You have everything. Now, why would anyone want to choose out of the allness anything less than the fabulous stuff? Why would anyone creating themselves here on planet Earth create themselves with limitation? Why would anyone, when they know they're the all? Because at the time you're making your choice, you know you're the all. Why would you want to play Monopoly, chess, Scrabble? Why do you want to play any of these games? Why not just be the overseer and see everything and see it all done? Well, you're doing that too. You see, we are the allness. But we like to play the games. And we like to play the games of thinking we need food, that we need water, we need air. When our bodies were first formed, true, they had lungs, they had systems that processed food and air. Our bodies had all these things, but they were not of any consequence. Because you don't need the food, you don't need the water, you don't need the air. You create yourself needing that. You create yourself being dependent upon it, and that's all fine and dandy too. But see, these are great thoughts that great people talk about. Deep, profound thoughts. We call them profound, and not because they're really profound, but we call them profound because we are just beginning to think about them. We are just beginning to remember who we are, why we came into this life experience, where we're going, what is our purpose in being here. We're just beginning to think about that. And then when we come to the conclusion, as great people do, that we are here to have fun and be ourselves, poof, all the nonsense floats away. All the games of saying, I must not eat this, I must not drink that, I must not say this, I must not do that. And then we change our consciousness. We change our total attitude toward ourselves. And you know what we say? Instead of saying, I must not, we say, I am all. I am everything. I enjoy everything. I enjoy every experience I have. I enjoy it when I stub my toe. What? Yep. If I didn't, because I'm being myself and having fun. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't stub my toe, would I? If I didn't think that it was fun to eat tainted food and throw up and so forth, or even die, I wouldn't do it. Every single thing we do because it's fun. This is what great minds think. This is what great intelligence thinks. Now, what do you think? What do you think? What thoughts go through your mind about yourself, your world, and your experiences? Great people talk about ideas. What sort of things do you talk about? And what sort of ideas do you talk about? What sort of ideas are exciting, uplifting, revealing to you? Ideas that say, I'm God? The only reason, the only reason people do not like to say, I am God, is that if they're God, the creator of their universe, then they're responsible. Nobody else is 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 responsible. I thought maybe it was a broken record there. But nobody else is responsible. If we have a happy time, we created that. If we have a sad time, we created that. If we're not getting out of life what we think we should, we're creating that. If we want more out of life than we're getting, create it by your thought. By your ideas of what it is that you think you'd like to create. You look at a little boy playing at the puddle at the side of the road, and what's he creating there? In his mind, he's got a river and a lake. He has all sorts of boats there, and he has people walking around, and he has houses. That it doesn't look like a house, that the people don't look like people, that the lake doesn't look like a lake, that the boats don't look like boats, immaterial. Ask him what it is. Ask a child about the picture the child draws, and they'll tell you, but you can't see it because you're working on a different dimension. They're working on the dimension of their inner imagination, their inner dream self, and that's where we should be working. Are they having fun? Oh, yes, they are. When they're done playing their game, Do they possess it? Oh, this is my little creek, this is my little people, this is my little cars, my little boats. No. They jump in the puddle, and away goes their lake, and away goes their people. The game is over. They release everything back to its undifferentiated matter. What can we do? We would like to be illumined. Well then, think illuminating thoughts. Think illumine. You'd like to be a master. Think master. See, that's where we have a problem. We have a problem of saying I am God because we know our interpretation of God is so much greater than what we're expressing right now. We know we'd like to be a master, but we know that we are expressing far less than a master would express, at least that we interpret a master to be. But you see, the little child, he doesn't have that hang-up. He takes what he's got, he creates it in his mind, and plays with it as though it were really what he has in his mind. He has his sand castles. He has his fire truck racing down the street, ready to put out a fire, and his hand is on top of that truck, pushing that truck along. It doesn't matter that the truck is tiny, that there's no water around for it to put out a fire. There's no fire around for it to put it out. It's an idea. And he plays it to the hilt. I say to you, all right, this afternoon we're going to go down to the harbor and we're going to go on our boat. It's a 100-foot cruiser, very nice, and it has a crew on it who run it, and it has a staff who serve us. And we're going down there, and we're going to just take a cruise out into the, maybe to Catalina, maybe, you know, who knows where. Can you visualize it? Can you visualize yourself on that boat? Can you visualize yourself being served by this wonderful crew? Can you visualize the captain and his crew sailing the boat? Can you visualize yourself hanging from a hammock off the tail end of the boat? Just relaxing. No responsibility except to create that hammock securely tied at the tail end of that boat. Because if you create that hammock not securely tied, you're going to take a bath. And maybe a lifetime bath. Never coming back. But you see, this is all in our thought. Did you see that hammock at the back of that boat? Did you see somebody in it? Did you see it coming loose and falling into the water?
No.
And I gave such simple, really uncolorful illustrations, but you put the color there. You put the imagination there. You put the dream there. You made it come true for a moment. You were in that hammock. But when the hammock came loose, you weren't in it anymore. Ellen was in it.
You
saw her splashing down in the ocean. But you see, Ellen, no, that hammock is secure, right?
That's right.
But you see, your visualization, your imagination, your creativity, your thinking of this idea, you thought of it. Now, you can do that. You can think of yourself as a master. You can think of yourself as illumined. You can think of yourself as God. You can think of yourself as all. So I say to you, go for it. Great people talk about ideas, but even greater people manifest ideas as an idea in their heart and soul and being. I love you very much. And I see all of your ideas manifest right now.